Hello again, and welcome to a special edition of I've Got a Beatles podcast. And today, this is Dave coming to you from Litomyšl, a city in the Czech Republic. And I just attended a performance of Paul McCartney's Ecce Cor Meum as part of their festival. Every year there's a festival here named after the famous Czech composer Bedřich Smetana. And this particular concert, I heard a piece by Ludwig van Beethoven, a piece by Antonín Dvořák, famous Czech composer, and the second half was the Paul McCartney classical piece, Ecce Cor Meum, otherwise known as Behold My Heart. It was the Czech premiere of this oratorio for soprano, children's choir, mixed choir, and orchestra to English and Latin texts. And I wanted to take this little bonus episode to talk about Paul McCartney as a classical musician a little bit, because some people have asked me to do this because of my own background as a classically trained performer and composer and music theorist. And that's, of course, what I teach at the university level. So very, very interesting to deal with the issue of Paul McCartney as classical composer or any pop singer as a classical musician, because there's a huge learning curve that goes into being a classical musician. It's not something you can just pick up very easily without any background or training. So when Paul McCartney first started doing this back in 1991 with his Liverpool oratorio, there were a lot of people who were very suspicious of him jumping in and writing this big choral piece. And I remember that when it came out, it was had a lot of fanfare and a lot of famous people sang in it and performed. And McCartney smartly hired Carl Davis, who was a conductor and arranger, to help put the piece together and give it a little bit more shape. So it was fairly successful. And then through the years, he has written other pieces. Standing Stone was another large orchestral piece. He wrote a ballet recently, and now this particular piece that I heard, Ecce Cor Meum, was written, started around the late 90s, right around the time Linda McCartney died, and then he stopped writing it after she died, and then picked it up again, finished in 2001, and was recorded in 2006 and premiered in the USA, at that point at Carnegie Hall. So, what did I hear, and what is Paul McCartney like as a classical composer? I'll start with some good things first. The piece itself is five movements, or I guess four movements, and there's an interlude called a lament, which a lament is, in classical terms, is a song, a sad song, essentially. And it's in the form of an oratorio, and an oratorio is a big sacred choral piece that uses orchestra, choir, usually soloists, and just a very large sacred piece. The most famous oratorio is probably Messiah by George Frederick Handel. And so in a way, it makes sense that Paul would jump in with this particular type of piece, because Handel's oratorios are in English, and it's the great English tradition. The English choral music is very, very important in literature. And Paul has talked about singing in church choirs as a child and being influenced by that. Additionally, as we know, Paul is the most classically inclined Beatle. He uses the orchestra a lot. He quotes orchestral music and talks about it, and just take Penny Lane as an example, with the piccolo trumpet that he heard from a piece by Johann Sebastian Bach. So Paul definitely has an affinity for classical music, and so I'll say a couple positive things. I'll say it's earnest, and I think Paul is most successful in this particular piece, which runs about an hour. It was very long. He's most successful in the sections where he does what he's best at, which is writing melodies and writing sort of pop song structures. I think a big highlight for me was the second movement of the piece called Gratia. And also there were some nice moments at the beginning of the piece in Spiritus, And I should say that the piece is a mixture of Latin text and his own text, and so it's English and Latin. But I'd say the beginning of the piece, Spiritus, is very nice. The second movement I really liked. The interlude had some good moments. It's an oboe solo that was written, I guess, to commemorate Linda McCartney. It's a lament, so it's in her memory. Fourth movement, or third big movement, is called Musica, and then the last movement is called Ecce Cor Meum. So I'd say the tempos overall are pretty slow. The piece is pretty slow. So some of the strengths, in addition to his earnestness and the effort that went into this, and I'd say were the good melodic writing in the for those particular movements I mentioned, some interesting textures every once in a while with the orchestra. We know that Paul had help with the orchestration and putting it in notation because he claims he can't read music or can't write it. So some other people must have helped realize it because the orchestra has to read parts. So I think it's interesting in that regard that what he does well is kind of the same stuff that he does in pop music, writing good melodies, catchy tunes, having a real earnestness, having a real sincerity to what he's doing. There's a lot of trumpet in it, a lot of piccolo trumpet. So again, kind of hearkening back to Penny Lane. There's some other solos, instrumental solos, and then there was a soprano soloist who did a very good job. So let me give you an example of some of the text. So the first movement, as I said, was called Spiritus. And here's a little bit of the text. As I said, it's Latin and McCartney. So you have Spiritus, Spiritus, lead us to love. Spirit of holiness, teach us to love. Spirit, show us how to live in pure love. So it's not, he's not particularly religious. It's more of just a higher being, I think, because the actual name of the piece, Ecce Cor Meum, came from a Catholic, St. Ignatius Loyola in New York at the Jesuit church. He saw this inscription relating to Roman Catholic worship and became really interested in the theme of behold my heart and love and kind of putting all this, the spirit together, divinity, spirituality, peace, and contentment, as the program notes say. The lyrics are very McCartney, I think. A lot of the English text could be from a pop song. And so in that regard, it's, as I say, very McCartney. So I think there's some, I don't want to be really negative because I think there's some positive things. And what I think would be good is if any of you are, of our listeners are not classical music fans, you might give it a try, knowing that this piece is by Paul. And maybe it'll lead you to some of the other great classical music that's out there. So I'd say, take it for what it is. Paul is not a classically trained musician, and I don't know if he's trying to be trying to write a piece that demonstrates that, because I think where the piece falters a bit, it's too long. I think it meanders and wanders a lot. And it's pretty stagnant, I think. There's not a lot of peaks and valleys. Usually in great choral music, you build to something. You need to have a big build-up and then the choir and everyone's going crazy. This was very static to me. I felt a lot of stasis. So I don't think it held together very well that way. Also, the harmonic, if now I'm gonna geek out musically here for a minute, but as a musical composition, it was very monotonous at times. I didn't know where to go. And that's because if you're a classically trained musician, you learn those tricks and you learn how to string together music, musical sections, you learn about form, you learn about those sorts of things that make great classical music. And so I think that element of Paul's, the lack of his classical training really shows in a piece like this, in holding it together. So I also did not like the, there's a long organ solo that's just kind of chaotic. It comes out of nowhere, and I did not work at all in the last movement for me. So I thought the piece should have ended before the organ, just if you happen to listen to the whole thing. But that being said, I think it's always interesting and kind of flattering for a pop singers to dabble and show respect for classical music, and makes me very happy because I straddle both worlds, and I obviously love to see any Beatle doing something like that. So if you go into it not expecting to hear Handel or Bach or Mozart or Beethoven or anything like that, you may be pleasantly surprised, and you could take it in bits and pieces. So my recommendation for Ecce Cormeo is to listen to the beginning of the piece. The first movement's very long, and it gets a little boring, but the first part of it's really, really dramatic. I also suggest the second movement, Gratia, and you also might like the lament part of it from the oboe solo, which has no voice in it. It's just a, it might have, I think it has a wordless chorus in it. But anyway, they performed it well and was enthusiastically received here in the Czech Republic. And I think the whole idea of Paul as a classical musician is pretty interesting, and I know it won't be what he's remembered for, but I do give him some credit for making the effort and trying to be part of a great tradition and a great music that has certainly influenced him and influences a lot of popular music. So, love to hear your thoughts on this. I'm going to close the episode with a bit of with an excerpt from Gratia, and you can hear a little bit of what I was talking about with the popular music stylings that are in there. And yeah, so hope you enjoyed listening to this little bonus episode. Chris and I will be back soon with another episode. We're waiting for this McCartney new release to come out, as well as some of the re-releases of the Wings albums. So stay tuned and make sure you're downloading us on iTunes or Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Facebook page and all that good stuff. Send us an email at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com. And I will be back at you again with Chris very soon. So thanks for listening. And here's a little bit of Paul McCartney's Ecce Cor Meum. And this is the second movement excerpt, Gratia.